Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. Live from Las Vegas, July 17th, 2018. Another hot, muggy day out there. For those of you who work in the heat, you hate it, I'm sure. I know I do.
I love it.
You love it, don't you? Right? Hey, we got a great show for you tonight in studio here. We got Jimmy Parker Jr., super late model driver out at LVMS. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Love to have you here. And hosting tonight along with myself is just Justin Griffith.
How you doing, Michael?
What's happening, man?
Living the life.
What life is that?
A hot life.
The life. You said the life. I'm just wondering what the life is.
The life.
The life. Is that a good life?
Preparing for two kids.
Two kids' life? That is a life.
It will be the life.
Yeah, well, exactly. Good point, Jimmy. It will be the life, trust me. And also hosting tonight, the man on a mission, Gary Wyatt.
How you guys doing?
What's happening, man? We've all been through the life before, haven't we?
Yes. Yes.
He is starting.
He has no clue what's coming down the road.
You got to lay down the law now.
Mm-hmm.
You got to wear the pants in the family now.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah, good luck with that.
They'll get ripped right off of you soon, mm-hmm. But trust me, you're going to want to try.
I think my 3-year-old already realized I'm not very good at laying the law down.
I was going to say, you got to establish wearing the pants, but if you have a 3-year-old little girl, I've got one as well. And
yeah, that's true.
She quickly shows me she wears the pants.
Hey, that's the truth.
Between right? Matt and the wife? Exactly that.
Surprised any of us has any time for racing, right?
Yeah, don't tell the watch.
Exactly. Hey, again, we got the super late model driver, Jimmy Parker Jr. We're going to find out all about you tonight, man.
Right on. Well, thanks. Like I said, I appreciate you guys having me on.
No problem. Again, we see you out the LVMS track time and time again, and you're out there kicking some butt in the super late model races. Hey, getting lucky's good.
Yeah.
Isn't that part of it? Like half luck is part of racing, right?
I got some good luck going on, and I got some good crew guys around me. So that's cool. That's basically what's going on.
That makes a huge difference.
It does.
Let's find out something about who you are. I mean, how old are you, first of all, if you don't mind me asking?
I just turned 32, July
5th. Hey.
Yeah. So I'm 32. Like, cool. I think I'm 23.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Our body's pretty
small.
Well, happy belated birthday, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hope you enjoyed your birthday.
I did. I actually took a week off of work, and we had the Monday, Tuesday events out at the bullring.
Absolutely.
Didn't go as well as I wanted it to, but it did go good. It was a good points night for us. I learned a lot as a driver on what to do in somewhat of a heat and long races like that.
Right.
It was a good week. And then the last 3 days, I got to spend a lot of daddy daughter time while the wife was at work. So it was a lot of fun.
Cool. I guess let's get to that. Rewind a little bit. What's your first experience in racing? Of course, tell us about your family. Your family's been around racing, obviously. And let's hear your first experiences in racing.
First experiences, I don't know if I can really remember that far back.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I can't remember. That's Gary's dream life.
I'm only talking a week ago.
Right?
So basically, I'm a third-generation driver. As a matter of fact, a lot of people know that my real number is 7JR.
Okay.
And the reason behind that is the JR stands for Jimmy Rollerson. That's my great grandpa that used to run, the one that started it all in our family. So third generation driver. My dad drove. My dad's dad built engines. He didn't drive so much, probably about the age of 15, and I got the taste of driving. I was kind of around the pits and stuff like that in the garage with pops. But about 15 years old when I got the first taste of driving, and it was over from there.
You caught the bug.
The bug bit me, but it probably didn't bite me really hard until I was about 25 years old when I wasn't racing as much. Nobody wanted to pay for anything.
Yeah, that's
And I realized I want to do it again, right.
Well, so, let's talk about your said your grandfather started out in racing.
So
was that locally here in the local area?
No, that was back east in some kind of like sprint car stuff.
Oh, okay.
I don't know a whole lot on that whole history side of things. There's just not a lot of things that are kept in books and stuff.
Sure.
We've got some pictures and stuff, but don't have a whole lot of the history on it.
About your father when he got.
I was gonna say more so is Grandpa and Dad.
Okay.
So Grandpa built engines for racers at Craig Road with Bobby Clawson and a lot of the guys out there. Dad started crewing, and I don't know how old Pops was, but I want to say he's probably in his early 20s when he actually started to race himself.
So probably like yourself.
A lot later in life, you know.
Right.
But he got to start driving, and basically right as he started getting his feet wet, he had kids, and he kind of had to give it up, I guess.
Remember that, Justin.
Hey,
remember them.
But look,
well,
what the kids grow up to do.
I've got one now. I've got one on the way.
Cool.
I feel like if you have one, thank you. I feel like if you have one child, you can still kind of go do your racing or whatnot. I'm kind of scared for two. I'm thinking that it's going to get into the tire fun.
Oh, Justin getting two at once. So
yeah.
He can. He's not going to experience.
He's going to do the craps table.
Yeah.
I don't know if you won or lost.
Well,
you won. Yeah.
We're going to go the way. Kids are
awesome. We're just playing, you know.
They're a lot of work, but like,
a lot of fun. Yeah,
fun.
You can't. You can't change that. Justin's manning his Facebook Live, so every once in a while, Justin, if you want to say what some of the comments are and so on, that's fine.
Apparently people want to call me.
Jimmy Parker Jr., as long as you don't mind being on your Facebook Live.
Oh, yeah,
I don't
mind at all.
I should have asked him first.
Looking for.
Yeah. We'd rather be on you because we got the face for radio.
That's right.
But, yeah, so back to the whole Pops thing, my dad is he's just a racing guru. He's basically has taught me everything that has to do with race car stuff, driving wise, mechanically wise.
So he's raced out at the Craig Road Speedway and also at the local.
Dad raced
track
at the Las Vegas Speedrome.
Okay.
So he didn't race at the Craig Road days, right? I know.
Yeah,
right?
I
a lot of people
days
don't know what the Speedrome was. I mean, there was a grand
quarter mile
a playground set in the pits for the kids. You know.
That's funny.
So yeah, I grew up there, but yeah, Pops was. He probably could have done a lot more in racing, driving wise, if he didn't have any kids. But
did you remember going out to the track? Like, did he bring you to the track sometime?
Yeah.
No.
See, I wasn't.
Did you play on the playground out at the Las Vegas?
I wasn't allowed around until the Bandoleros came.
Oh, okay.
And so Bandoleros
a little bit later,
98-ish. Right.
90,
yeah.
Somewhere around
so,
there.
I mean, I remember taking naps to go to the racetrack. but yeah, once the Bandoleros came around, I'd say that was. That's when I started going to the pits.
Okay.
13 years old, 12 or 13 is when I actually started to help my dad with Chuck Prickle's car.
Wow. Did you know what was going on, or you just kind of, hey, grab this wrench? Or?
I knew what was going on, but I didn't know what things were. So
sure.
Brian Kaiser, it's funny to this day, Brian Kaiser in the garage says, go grab me a three-quarters wrench. I jumped up. I ran to the toolbox. I said, I got it. Got to the toolbox and said, what the heck is a three-quarter wrench?
Right.
What the heck is a three-quarter wrench?
Yep, try to figure out what does that mean.
About 10 minutes later, he walked over and said, you see the 3/4? Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, so, had to learn fractions in the garage.
Hey, that's cool, man. You never forgot a 3/4 inch after that, did you?
Exactly. Now you can look at a bolt and know what wrench it's gonna take. So, but yeah, so the a lot of racing with family wise. That's what's so cool about it. Being older is young, 15, 16, 17, you're really not worried about the family aspect of things. But now, as a 32-year-old, you know, I was just telling the wife the other day. Next year, I would love to. Go click off some SRL races or something and just do some out of town stuff and make a trip out of it, you know,
touring stuff.
Didn't you say you were expecting another kid?
Yeah, I got a baby boy on the way. That's why we were talking about five races.
Yeah, the touring. That's the fun part of touring. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
You can spread them out a little bit.
Right.
So did you, if you don't mind me digging in a little bit
in
your personal life, did you meet your wife as a racer at the racetrack or anything like that? Or did she know
that you raced
as a hobby on the side?
She did. We have some mutual friends. As a matter of fact, Michael Miller is probably the reason.
We always say it's Michael Miller's fault.
Yeah, and this one, it is his fault. but it was a good one. You know, he set me up with a girl. And we dated 5 years. And
how did that happen? Do you mind me asking? I mean, did he I got this girl I know.
So basically, we just wasn't racing.
Now, you got to get this right because if your wife listening and you get it wrong, you're in trouble. So
exactly right. I wasn't racing a whole lot at the time. I was just moved out, kind of learning the whole living on my own thing. Was roommated with Travis Swalwell. And we just always had weekend parties. And Mike Miller came over one time and brought some of his friends and a girl. And he basically introduced us. And that's, it was long story short. We ended up, like I said, dated 5 years. And then we've been married for, knock on wood, I get this right, another 5 years. Actually, 6 years. So.
Cool.
Love you, babe.
It's all Michael Miller.
Just remember your anniversary date. That's all.
I've got that one down.
Yeah, exactly.
Tattooed.
First of all, I'm actually surprised that Michael Miller had friends. That was the first thing. I was like, hey, no, I'm just kidding, Mike.
Well, he claims Justin was a friend.
Back in high school, he was a popular guy.
Why? No. Did you go to high school with him?
Yep.
Oh, really? What school did you go to?
El Dorado High School.
El Dorado? One of those. What's their mascot over there?
Sun Devils.
Sun Devil. Oh, no wonder.
I'm the adult. I don't
The Sun Devils. Did you go to high school here in Vegas? Or?
Yeah, I was born and raised here in Vegas.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I went to Las Vegas High School, just right up the road.
Yeah.
I had a lot of friends. I grew up on the east side of town, so I went to O'Callaghan and then moved away around 7th grade, went to Keller the rest. But I had a lot of friends that went to El Dorado, and I tried to go to El Dorado, but my mom went there, knew a lot of teachers, and she wouldn't let me. I appreciate that now.
Yeah, exactly. Look at that. Thank you.
Well, and then I appreciate her a lot letting me go because she knew the teachers.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Right.
I went somewhere where the teachers didn't know me.
I had an older brother that the teachers all knew.
Well, that's the hard part. I know. Another Griffith, right? Is that what that? Probably what you used to hear.
Exactly.
Is he Gary's little brother?
Nope. No clue who he is.
Yeah, no association at all. No, that's cool. So you're from Vegas. So you're Vegas made. Cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
Can't beat that.
Born and raised at the racetrack.
Not many kids, friends probably around you knew about the Speedway at all, did they?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, any kids out there listening, trust your dad. You know, my dad used to tell me all the time, stay in the garage and work on your race car with me, buddy. I'm going to be your buddy till the day you die. Those guys are only going to be your buddy for so long. And I don't hang out with any of those high school friends at all. The biggest thing, all my friends like race cars. It's that common interest type thing. So I should have listened to Pop. I would have been a lot smarter at 32 when it comes to the race car
stuff. It's one of those things where, that's something you're going to pass on to your kids. Hey, listen, I'm telling you from experience.
He told me the same thing.
They never listen. Yeah, exactly. They never listen. But I'm the same way. I should have listened to a lot of things my father said.
Right.
But hey, live and learn. That's what it is.
If he's listening right now, he's probably laughing, going, "Yep, should have listened to me."
This is a moment in your life. You go, "Hey, my kid actually listened."
When you get
home, he's still saying, "You should still listen to me."
When you get home tonight, he's going to say, "I told you, you should have listened."
Yep. I got to tell myself that too. A lot of times, just listen to him. Just trust him. I don't know why, but sometimes I feel like I know it all.
Do you find some stuff like the way you grew up that maybe you want to do different with your kid? There's some things that when you pass along your kids. Yeah. There you go. Learn a new sport.
I've already told the family and said, after this year, if it goes the way we want it to go, let's sell everything, get rid of the pitchers, get rid of it all. Let's give them golf clubs.
Golf clubs. There you go.
We got a boy on the way. So
cool. You never
It'll
know
never
how that
happen.
Yeah, you don't.
Well, you don't know what's gonna happen when the grandparents get a hold of the grandkids. They're gonna get him into racing and go buy him some helmets and everything.
He's gonna tell him the hell with them golf clubs. Yep. Let's go race.
And knowing my dad, that's exactly what's gonna happen.
He's gonna do.
But it's awesome. One of the biggest reasons that I do go out there and race at the Bullring or anywhere else is to do it with my dad. My dad's my best friend.
Have you ever had a chance to race with your dad, or is this
against
something
him, or
against him?
Or
together on the same race on the race?
Only
go
kart tracks.
Really?
Well,
that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Though.
Well,
you give him a little nudge, or
as a matter of fact, we took a trip to Iowa. I want to say it was last year. We went to a Xfinity race. Dan Mullis ran an Xfinity race, and we went to go check him out and support him on that, and stayed an extra day. And we went to they had this slick track with these like World of Outlaw looking go karts,
no
and they
kidding.
Put baby powder down.
Oh wow!
Oh yeah, we hooked the guy up $20 just baby powder
yeah,
on the
really
track,
cool.
And yeah, my dad turned into a competitive little finger. I'm slinging it in there. He's door slamming that. And it is fun, you know, but he's your dad. So
right.
You want to get fun. You want to have fun with him. But when you start getting to the nitty gritty bumping and stuff,
right.
You don't want to hurt him.
Well,
you know?
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah.
So you let Dad win, right?
No. Sounds like another challenge for Dad.
I didn't want to hurt him. I definitely want to beat him every time every run.
On the racetrack, has he given you a lot of pointers and things like that from his experience?
And you know, as much as I don't have a whole lot of experience, I got some experience, but and that's the hard thing for myself is I have to tell myself every once in a while, like, just don't have any pride and listen to the outside people. You know, William Byron's got Max Pappas as a driving coach. So it doesn't matter if you're a Bandolero driver, if you're a Cup driver, you got a driver coach. Somebody sees something different than what you see.
Yeah.
And yes, I do. I got to listen to my pops. You know, he's smart. He knows the driving side of things. He knows the crew chief side of things.
You ever feel like, hey, I think you're wrong this time, Dad?
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know,
there's a lot of times where I think it's my way. I know my way.
Right.
And kind of time and time, he proves me wrong. So.
Right.
You think right now that I would just learn to just be quiet.
Yeah, be quiet, listen, and you never know. You know, sometimes your way's not always going to be the wrong way either. So did you race Bandoleros then?
No, so my racing started at 15 years old. So it's kind of funny. When I first started, the 600 Racing School was renting Bandoleros for $200 for the weekend. That's nothing.
That's
great,
yeah.
So what I did was I told Dad, I said, I want to do this. And I went and mowed lawns, and I rounded up $200. When I rounded up $200, they quit that program.
Oh, that's
well, rough. Once they did that, and, you know, my dad saw, that I was upset.
Right.
He had a buddy, Sonny Wall, that ran the 600 Racing School, and Brian Kaiser, and they called him up, and they said, yeah, bring him out. We'll let him make some laps, and... I remember they were running the little track. They were running on the front stretch and then diving down into the infield. And my dad tells me, it's a Bandolero. It's not that fast. Don't lift.
Don't lift.
I didn't lift. And I spun around about four times.
Wow.
Sonny Wall comes over and tells me, dude, you got to lift, you know. So at that point, just kind of started making laps. And I think my dad just saw how much I did enjoy it because I showed him, you know, I was like, Dad, I'm getting in a rhythm. I'm feeling this. I'm feeling that. And, you know, he thought about it. And, you know, I guess he thought, you know, we want to go racing. And he thought those Bandoleros are expensive. So let's just kind of move up to the next level, let him sit in there for a little while.
Right.
So at 15 years old, he got me a legend car.
Nice.
We spent a year rebuilding it. And it turned out to be, once I figured out how to drive it, it turned out to be one of the quickest legend cars here in town.
Have you watched different drivers out there before you got into your legend? Guys that you wanted to kind of mimic?
Right. So basically, at that time, my dad was crew chief and Kyle Busch out here. So Kyle Busch took me under his wing and taught me a lot, you know, mechanically side and driving side of things.
Okay.
But I also watched Spencer Clark as well.
Right.
As a matter of fact, once I did start racing, we ended up teaming up, Spencer and I. My dad set his car up. And that made me better because I did not want somebody else that my dad set up to beat me.
Right.
I wanted my dad to think that I was the best driver, not somebody else.
Right.
So it helped me because it really put the fire under me. And there was a lot of times where either Spencer was a thousandth faster or I was, you know, and it
was cool.
Really,
that's
really
close.
Yeah, it was.
Sweet.
And it just kind of put the fire on the things and made me more competitive, you know.
Right.
So.
And during those times, if you don't know, if you haven't watched the legend races out there, they had a ton of legend cars out there. They actually, I think during that time, raced the three different divisions and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And they had 20 plus cars out there. So it was really
competitive. That's the sad thing about today's is every class is hurting, you know.
Well, that's some changing times. I think we're slowly starting to see the changes, you know, in the economy and all that coming about. A lot of the entertainment divisions are starting to come up, but
I blame Las Vegas. There's too much to do.
That's a good point. There is a lot of stuff to do.
When you buy these, you get off work, everything's shut
you
down.
Have
you
have to go
around, right?
You know, that's a very good point, you know, and that's a very valid point, too. There is so much stuff to do here in Vegas. If you're not from here, come here.
Yeah.
Check it out because there's just too much to do.
Yep.
Sometimes, you know, ask Justin. He'd rather go do something else than go racing.
No.
Good answer.
Okay. No, so cool. So you got to get some pointers and stuff from the Kyle Busch and Spencer Clark and guys like that. Some obviously some really good racers back in the day. And
right, right. I just wish I would have soaked it up a lot more as a younger guy.
Well, yeah, you don't realize that till later on in life,
exactly.
Right? That's
for
cool.
Sure. Yeah, you know, Kurt and Kyle made it look easy. They
right.
went through the bull ring. Next thing you know, they're in the cup stars, you know.
Yeah.
So it's easy to see that and go, look, if you're racing, you'll make it.
And I think during that time, the opportunities were a little different than they are today. Obviously,
mm-hmm.
today, a lot of big teams want to see you bring your own sponsorships
yep.
and things like that along with them.
The way I put it these days, you got to have money to get you there, and you need talent to keep you there.
Good point.
You know?
Very good. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, look at Kwasniewski. You know, Kwasniewski
yeah.
even had the money to kind of help get him there, but it just...
But, you know, he's got the talent. He's got the seat
he
time
does.
And all that.
Just, he just didn't get enough seat time in that
opportunity,
exactly. You know?
The opportunity, yeah, that's a tough position to be
mm-hmm.
in because, you know, you got a young kid that has the talent, had the sponsorship
right.
and the backing and just
one thing
didn't
I think,
click.
You know, as a kid, I looked at it as a sport. But
right.
now as a 32-year-old, I look at it as a business.
Right.
You know, and like any other business, you need money to make money.
Right.
You know, so it is. It's tough. As a matter of fact, I quit for 4 to 5 years of racing because it hurt my feelings that the thing that I wanted to do most in life, the only thing that was stopping me from it was money.
So
know?
What brought you up to that point? So you raced the Legends at that time. And then did you move up into anything else?
So from 15 to 18 years old, 3 years of Legend cars. And then at 18 years old, my dad had worked for
how
Jerry
many wins
Stover.
Did you have during that time?
For the 3 years, if you counted the Friday and the Saturday night deals, mm-hmm. I think it was anywhere from 21 to 28
wow.
Wins. And that was actually within the last 2 years because
yeah.
the first year
right.
I wasn't very good at all.
Right. Well, that's a learning experience. That's
right.
It shouldn't be that way. If you're winning, something's
right.
Something's
yeah,
on, you're not learning. So
we won 21 to 28 races. Like I said,
wow.
I can't really remember. I had some track records.
Sweet.
You know, we finished second points 2 years in a row in the semi-pro and in the pro division.
Yeah.
Should have won some at least one of those championships. But like I was telling the guys earlier, probably got a little big-headed and gave up on the trying.
Right.
You know, thought it was just going to happen naturally. But you got to dig. You got to dig 100%. You can't ever give up. I've always said the day that you stop learning is the day you get passed.
Yeah.
You
know, that's always a good testament to your character and yourself, you know, seeing some of your own faults and things and learning from them. And that's something
that's
that we could all do.
That's my pop singing out on it. You know, it's funny. He's
yeah.
probably going to hate that I tell the radio world this, but I won my first Legend car race June 21st. I don't know what the year was. And I won by half a straightaway.
Wow.
And I was crying on Sunday about how many mistakes I made.
No
I said,
kidding.
Dad, my dad was telling me, look, you did that wrong. You did that wrong. You missed the white
wow.
line there. You did this. And I said, Dad, I won by half
I
a
won.
Track.
Yeah.
Or half a straightaway. He said, you could have won by half a lap.
Wow. That's interesting.
But
yeah.
it's funny. They say win on Sunday, sell on Monday. Win on Saturday, cry on Sunday. You know?
Exactly.
But, you know, my pops is good. I think my dad's the winningest crew chief out there. He's won with championships and races with many, many drivers out there.
Right. Right. Well, yeah, if you haven't heard the name Jimmy Parker somewhere along the line, whether it's senior or junior, obviously, just Jimmy Parker in general, then you haven't been around racing locally.
I'd say junior, senior made the junior.
You know. Yeah, we're starting to hear a lot more juniors. So anyway, so you get to that point in the Legends, and then from there, did you take time off?
So I was digging.
Okay.
I was wanting to go to the Cup Series.
Okay.
So I thought, you know, I should have tried a lot harder. But anyways, you know, at 18 years old, we got into the super late model.
Yeah.
Started the super late model. I won my fourth start ever in a super late model.
Right.
I won against, as a matter of fact, I was telling these guys earlier that it's kind of crazy I'm racing against Scotty for my first championship
right.
because I had to pass him for my first super late model.
That's
win.
Funny.
And, Thane Alderman,
yeah.
Spencer Clark.
Yeah.
It was just a really, Mike Kofor. It was a really good
tough
field.
Competition, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And as a matter of fact, the race that I did win, I won with 5 restarts. It was a shortened race.
Wow.
It was a 40-lap main that they shortened to like 35
yeah.
because of how many restarts. I had to beat Thane Alderman like 5 restarts
oh, yeah.
in a row.
Right.
I was sweating bullets.
So you
as
probably raced harder than anybody else out there.
Right. You know, and my dad, the way he set the car up, made me look good type
right.
of thing. So, 18 years old, we started the super late model deal, and then I'd say about halfway through the season, it just fell through our program, and basically kind of just sat out the rest of the year. Pops went and bought a car, tore it apart that next year, refurbished it, went out, just never had a whole lot of money to go run the bigger series like that.
Right.
As a matter of fact, this is going to be the first super late model season that I will complete.
No kidding.
The last one that I tried, I missed two races.
Wow.
I quit racing that year, leading the points, had a win with my dad's car.
Right.
But our sponsor at the time had to pull the plug. He just couldn't afford it anymore. Missed two races, and then the Ewings were nice enough to let me drive their car for free. They just said work on it, and I could drive it. We got a win out of that. That was a huge confidence booster for me because, like I said, my dad's won a lot of races with other drivers in championships, and I don't have championships. And you start to wonder, like, why?
Right.
If this guy can do it with these other guys, can't I do it with him?
In the past, you've got wins under your belt and so on, and sometimes it just takes that one win to get that momentum going, too.
Right. What the thing with the Ewings was is, you know, my dad's always been my crew chief.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought, well, maybe I'm not that good.
Right.
And I raced with the Ewings. And Robert Ewing was my crew chief.
Wow.
And I got a win with him.
Yeah.
And I thought, wait a minute. I do know, I can relate to what the car's doing. I can feel it. I can pass. I can beat these guys. So it was a huge confidence booster. And then the next year after that, I actually got the team back up with my dad.
Wow, cool.
And we got to go race with the Vision Boys. And after two races, that ended as well. So, but yeah, had a lot of fun with it.
Well, you know, you had some good ingredients there. Sometimes those don't mix well. You know, just things happen. They fall apart,
right.
Like you said, unfortunately, you know.
I just look back at it and just, it was a good little learning curve.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy where I'm at these days.
Right.
You know,
you got a good family under your belt. You still get to work with your dad at the racetrack.
Exactly.
And hopefully these super late model wins and hopefully you get a championship here coming up. Just are more fun, you know, a fun championship.
You know what? Like I said, this is the first year that we've tried to run for one, and you know, I'm telling my dad, I said, this has got to happen this year because I don't ever want to do it again. I said, man, this is so stressful.
It's a lot of work, huh?
And I thought it was taking the fun away from it every weekend, but I sat down and I realized it's not taking the fun out of it.
Right.
It's delaying it. Delaying it towards the end of the year because if this happens the way we want it to,
you'll look back and that.
Me and my guys are going to have a great time, you know.
Exactly.
Me and my boys, you know. My whole team, as a matter of fact, Tom Cliff, Gary Cliff, Don Cliff, Garrett Wallace, Jimmy Parker Sr., my pops, spotter Jeff Connors, you know, all of them, they make me look good, and if we can pull this off, I'm going to take care of them.
You know, that's a good team you got there. Don't take too much away from yourself, too. You know, take something behind that wheel to make it happen also, and that's where you come in, man.
I tell my pops, and the pops tells me a blind squirrel can find a nut every once in a while. You know, and so, you know, when these guys really keep me in line, I do all right.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's cool.
Those guys make me, I guarantee you I could just about get any driver to hop into that 92 car, and they'll go just as fast. That car is... It's a really, really good car. Those guys really do put a lot of work into it.
Yeah, it's really good. You know, obviously yourself also working hard for this championship. Where are you in the points, the championship right now?
So we are 17 points in the lead locally.
That's close.
Which is 1 point per position. It's not a huge, comfortable lead,
but it's
nothing to really kind of
worry about.
Exactly.
Too much. Cool.
But the state championship. The state championship, we're above or ahead by two. They score it differently.
Right.
I want to win them both. But if you're only going to win one, you want to win the state, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we got to keep our head down. We got to keep digging. Just got to keep clicking off these top threes if we can.
Do you have someone keep an eye out on the positions that you need to finish in and all that for the state?
No, when we're on the racetrack, we try to be smart, but we race when we're on the racetrack. We want to go win.
Right.
It's when we get out of the car and have time to think about those points is when it eats us up.
Right.
So Monday through Friday, right, it just eats you up. Then you go race Saturday or Sunday through Friday because then Sunday you wake up worrying about those points again.
Well,
you think
you're going in with the game plan, but then you get on that track and that competitive edge comes out. And you're like, I just got to win, you know. You're not thinking about just, hey, I just got to get this position. But
does go through your mind. As a matter of fact, July 4th race. You know, I really wanted to save my stuff. I didn't want to go and waste it. And I fell to the back and started to make my way back up. Of course, I wanted to get up there and race with Dustin Ash. You know, I saw that our times in the race were real close together. Right. I looked at the breakdown of it. I saw him this last week, and I told him, I don't think I could have beat you, but I definitely think I could have ran with you.
Right.
I saw the bigger picture and all that, and I just said, let's get to the end. And then when we get to the end, we'll see where we're at. So when I saw that I was fourth, a straightaway back from Dustin, now it's, okay, let's just make sure we're not going to do nothing stupid and beat Scotty by as many as we possibly can. So yeah, I mean, I guess you somewhat do think about it when you're in the car.
No, you know what, and that's good. That's a very strategic racing, especially when you're going for a state championship against a lot of other talented drivers from different tracks. If you're not familiar with it, it's multiple tracks competing with for the state championship points.
Right, yeah. It's pretty crazy. I mean, you can go nationally, and if you get real crazy, you can go to Tucson to here, and you can go for a national championship.
Exactly.
My wife would really that would be then,
right? You'd be in the doghouse with Justin.
Uh-huh. You're going to my doghouse. He's got AC.
I was smart. I stopped racing.
Yeah.
Once I found out the kids were coming, I'm like, okay. But somebody's like a drug dealer and keeps pushing it.
Well, yeah, can you blame him? Racing's racing for him. That's what he does.
Yeah, it's a way of life. You read these things, these memes and stuff on Facebook or whatnot, and they say it is a way of life, and it really is.
Right.
It really is.
I tried to walk away once.
I'd kill somebody if I didn't race.
right. You're stressed when you work on the cars, but you're more stressed when you don't.
Exactly.
You wonder what you're doing.
Exactly.
You wonder what to do.
The therapy. So you got it.
They do say there's life after racing, but I don't want to find out what's over there.
I think that's all what the Cup guys say after they made all the money.
They go to the
beach house.
We don't have that luxury.
I got a true work outside of racing.
Yeah. That's true. Did your wife come out to the track and support you sometimes?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I cannot.
Sometimes. My wife stopped coming to the track, and she tells me it's because it's too stressful for her.
Shame on me for not mentioning her name when it comes to the whole team, because she's my biggest supporter. But she not only does that, but she cooks dinner for the crew guys.
Oh, no way. Cool.
We got a Tuesday, Thursday night shop night at my house.
I'm on
a run head. We got a little two-car garage that we're going to
pitch. We're going to come to your pitch.
my wife will make me and the guys dinner when we work on the cars on the weekdays. And then at the track, she'll bring it out. But so does Don Cliff. Don will we'll do that as well. My little daughter, Marley. Marley, she's my biggest critic. If I showed you pictures here of that first race weekend of finishing second to Dustin.
That's funny.
We're friends. My daughter's friends with her daughter, their daughter, and she wanted nothing to do with him.
Oh, that's funny.
She was
very
mad at him that he beat him.
Because he won.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so funny.
She tells me, Daddy, you didn't win.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God. All right.
You're right.
That's why I'm looking to please every weekend. Looking to please Marley, looking to please my dad,
Oh, man, that's a tough bill to fill,
right?
Man.
Yeah, it is, for sure.
Oh, man. No, that's cool. That's really cool that family, supports you like that. It always helps make your time on the track easier, knowing that, that.
Right. As a matter of fact, just last weekend I had a buddy ask me, he goes, hey, does your mom even go out there? And I said, yeah, she does. She goes out, watches the race, and then she might come see me afterwards, give me a hug, and then kind of bail. I said, yeah, she does. And as a 32-year-old, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
As a 16-year-old, it was kind of like, Mom,
people are watching. Yeah. Like, now you can look back.
Be a man, now I'm 32, just going, Mom, I really appreciate you coming out, taking time out of your weekend to come watch this,
That's cool.
It does. It takes a lot to go watch someone else do their thing.
You got many friends outside of the racing circle that come out and support you once in a while that don't know anything about racing?
I've got no friends.
Yeah, don't say Mike Miller's your friend.
That sounds like Gary over here.
Well, nobody will claim him as a friend. So.
I like to say that I got 3 to 4 full-time jobs. Yeah, I'm a track ops manager at the Speed Vegas track. I'm a husband. I'm a dad. And then, car owner / driver. It's where got a lot going on. So the guys that I hang out with most these days, Dustin Ash, Jeff Connors, but we all got our own things going on where we don't really get to
hang
see each other that often. But at the same time, we all live close to each other to where it's not like, hey, man, how have you been the last month?
Right,
it's just,
hey,
what's up? You catch right back. You just fall right back.
You go race, compete with each other
track
once in a while.
My buddy Jeff and I are going to Chicago this week, and we're going to go watch a Cubs game.
No way. Cool. Something totally different out of the
It's funny. Scotty Babb, the track announcer, came up to me after the last race, and he goes, 2 months? What are we going to do 2 months on?
Yeah.
And I go, are you upset? And he goes, yeah, man, I want to watch racing. I said, dude, I'm going on vacation.
I'm going to watch baseball, right?
And I just don't, I want to be able to not look at the car for a week or so. Right. You know? And as a kid, he's like, no, 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 every weekend, let's go. But
right.
Now I'm older going, yes, I get to do the daddy time, get the husband time, you know. The crew guys get
change
to go back. The crew guys' wives don't have to start hating me so much, you know.
No, you mean hating you more.
Yeah, you know what? You probably got a point.
Oh, man. So yeah. Is everybody else off, even though you're going back east? Or is everybody working on the cars and things like that, getting it ready for the upcoming races? Because
as a matter of fact,
the garage doesn't close half the time.
My dad works for Joe Farley, Sigma Solution Racing.
How's Joe and them doing out there? Have they been doing any other races? I know they stopped for a little bit.
Yeah, he's not driving just yet. He's wanting to get back into it. They got some things in the works for Joe. But Joe's still being involved with Wolfenstein.
Yep.
Jim Wolfenstein has got a car and kind of got a camp around there. So I went and helped him the last Irwindale, not this one this last weekend, but the one before that.
Okay.
I went down and helped them out. Jim Wolfenstein told Thane that he could drive at the next race, so they're going to go down to the Montana 200 this weekend.
Now, according to Gary, Thane is the world famous Thane Alderman.
we
just tease him about that.
Thane's dad has got a lot of history in the local racing. Thane's got a lot of history. When I look back and I think about beating Thane Alderman, it puts a smile on my face for my first Super Late Model win. You know, it's cool to say that I beat a guy like that my first win. So.
You know, that tells a lot for your own talent. I know you don't like to boast about yourself, but obviously you're racing against some tough.
I guess I feel like I could agree with you if I clicked off, 30 wins or something like that. But I think
they're coming in.
Super Late Model win. So.
Hey, you got to get the championship first, then you can move on to the rest of to beat Gaffer and his record of what is it, 50 plus?
Yeah, something crazy like that.
Yeah.
I'm 66, I think.
That just kind of tells you how old the guy is. No. I'm just joking, Scotty.
I think it's him and Justin Johnson.
Oh, I think he's...
Did he unplug it?
Nope. Oh, no, you're good. You're good.
Extremely long.
I need a rookie stripe for the radio.
Yeah, your dad's watching. He...
So, is that a thumbs up or a
no? So what are you seeing on there?
Nothing,
okay.
Roy McClure said you tried to run him over coming on the track.
I apologize.
I got the blinders on.
Gavarini's got 66 wins.
Holy moly.
Wow, and Phil Goodwin's got 58, and Dustin Nash has got 57, and Justin Johnson's got 53, and Doug Hamm with 50.
Nice.
See, those guys we can talk that good about. You know, that's pretty cool.
Well, let's talk Justin Johnson's. Justin,
that's my brother-in-law.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's talk about him.
We have a relationship. He's wrecked me before.
You know, it is funny.
Oh, come on. Justin never wrecked nobody.
You know, and let me tell you, what a great guy Justin is. We've had him in the studio. We've watched him over the years race and becoming a great racer like he is locally and that's what he does also. But when he was a young driver, and I don't want to say the legends, I think back then, he used to block a lot. And I was like, man, what's this kid blocking for? You know, but yeah, it's one of those things back in those days. But
and I would imagine because he probably knew what he was capable of.
Right.
Maybe the car wasn't as good as what, you know, he was at the time. And
I mean, today he's way.
Yeah, I drove that 92 car after he won it.
Yeah.
And I gave him, I had never driven that car until that race. And I told him, I said,
and that was your backup car, correct?
Yeah, that was Tom Clip's car. So we had our backup car. And I told him, I said, man, you made me look like a retard. I said, holy cow, did you
make
me.
What did it feel like to you? Was it just an ill car?
It almost felt like a dirt car getting into
the
corner. It had like a left rear picking up sensation. That's why it spun it out.
Right.
So you kind of had to drive straight into the corner. It turned really good from exit off or center off. So you kind of had to do all your turning really late, right in the center of the corner. So it just took me some time to figure out what it liked. And then that race had one caution. I was the one caution.
Thanks,
and, and as a matter of fact, towards the end, it was a 35-lap main, and I was wishing for 35 more because I was just starting to figure out how I could make it get around the racetrack. You know, I wasn't going to go win in it like he did, but I think I could have probably got up to that top five.
You know, that's something that tells a little bit about different drivers. You can give a driver the same car, and each car is going to react differently to it.
Right.
And
I mean, I'm no dummy, so I know what I'm capable of. I've spent 4 years putting every dime that I could into that car,
right,
and getting the best piece that I possibly could, because I knew that I needed something that made me let go. Okay?
Something that can turn by itself, right?
And if you can't afford to go buy a crew chief, you better be related to one like I am.
So that's how you did it.
Exactly. Thanks, Pop.
Right.
Let's say your brother, I work with your brother, and he was like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And it's a sibling thing. My brother does the same thing. He'll bash you and bash you and bash you. At the end of the conversation, he was like, but if anybody wants to sponsor a winning driver, I have a guy named Jimmy. I was like, it must be a sibling thing. My brother will beat the crap out of me.
Oh, yeah.
But at the end of the day,
especially with brothers,
he's your biggest fan.
Right.
Did your brother race?
So, no, it's kind of a funny situation there. I've got two brothers, and they're both half brothers.
Okay.
All three of us have different moms. I didn't meet Michael until I was roughly 15 years old.
Right.
So he never really got into the whole racing scene. But my oldest brother, Daniel, he did. He lived in Utah. I built his car for him. I would kind of maintain it for him, me and my pops. Pops would set it up. And
you race up in Utah during that time?
No, he would come down here and race down here.
Okay.
And I just don't think it was necessarily his thing.
Right.
Racing is a lot of work, as you guys know.
Yeah.
So you got to really want to do this, to go do this every weekend, because it's tough. You know, it's really, it's not just tough at the racetrack. It's tough during the week. You got to go to work. You got to afford it. You got to answer to the wife. And I just don't think that was necessarily his thing. So he just kind of gave it up after that year, you know. So I was the only one that out of the boys that carried it on,
doing it.
The bug bit me bad, you know.
Well, that's cool. So you said he works where you work, Justin?
Yeah.
Does he do sheet metal? He's a fabricator?
He works over in the fab shop.
Does he do fabrication on your guys' stuff? Or
He has helped us out with some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest thing that he's really good in the technology world with the GoPros and all that.
Oh, cool.
Computers and stuff.
Really?
And that is not my world. So he put together some really cool videos and some sponsored stuff. Really helped out with packages. To go after some sponsors.
Right.
Didn't work out. The sponsor stuff is crazy how it did work out. You really, really try and nothing happens.
Right.
But Tom Cliff calls me at the beginning of the year, basically kind of wants me to drive his car, and I let him know that I spent 4 years building mine. And I said, why don't we just wrap the car to look like yours and we'll go run the season? And he calls me back a day later and says, let's do it. And I said, who gets a phone call to get sponsored?
Right.
Who gets, and it's a sweet deal like I got.
Right.
You know, I'm going, what's going on? I'm a true believer that my grandpa, my dad's dad, is looking out after me. I have, from what I've said in the last 3 years of what I wanted to do and all of it to come, so far come true, he's looking out after me. He's making things happen for me, and it's awesome.
Well, you know what? And part of that's just having the fun and to get those phone calls to make it a little easier to go out and have fun and get and all that. Thanks to guys like Tom Cliff.
Right.
You know,
that whole Cliff family just couldn't be more appreciative. I mean, they're fun guys to be with, but not only are they fun guys to be with, but they want to go race. They're diehard racers themselves.
Right.
They want to run up front. They want to. Tom wants two cars out there every weekend, you know, and he wants to be the biggest dog in the doghouse, type of thing. It's really cool. I really got lucky this year.
That's cool. Enjoy it, you know, while you can. And, you never know what can happen next year, but you just kind of keep that momentum going, you know.
Correct.
That's really cool. Speaking of sponsors and so on, I know we still got some time left, but before we do run out of time, you want to talk about some of your sponsors and of course, your family.
The NAC Electric is our number one primary sponsor. There's the hugest deal. So any type of electric, electronical needs there, get a hold of them. Then we got CSM Graphics. Steve over there, Steve Mall, he wrapped the car, gave us a really good deal on that as well. He's always done my stuff from Legend Cars on up.
Wow.
So thanks to CSM Graphics, they'll always make you look good. Then I got Sigma's Solutions. They give me a little bit of help. Let me come over and bust some tires down and mount tires and whatnot.
Nice shop he's got down.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Yeah,
yes, very
absolutely.
Nice. And there's... we got Wet Tech, Jay Beasley's dad, Rod Runnell. He's helped out a little bit this year. Vegas Machine, Howard over there.
And that's a name we haven't heard a lot out. Back in the day, you used to hear Universal Machine. You used to hear Vegas Machine, competitors all the time. You don't hear about Howard much lately. So.
Yeah, well, the engines are kind of going a different route these days. They got the sealed engine program, which is it's really cool. I mean, it's just, you can't even take a valve cover off because it's got a seal on it, you know? And it's so nice to be able to go to tech and then look at the motor and just write down your seal and say, okay, you got to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
that
was
that.
My favorite thing about legend car racing was we could tear the gear out or whatever.
A lot of the motor guys don't like that sealed program, but you know, but it's good for the teams
and
the
good for races.
Yeah.
It's cheaper,
absolutely.
You know.
Yep.
If you go buy a tour motor, it's going to cost you $30,000,
$40,000. Right.
We got Dwayne McGonigal with ours, $19,000 brand new engine with a year warranty.
Yeah.
Who gives you a year warranty?
Who gives you any warranty on a racing?
Yeah.
Period.
As long as it's not your fault,
right.
If you didn't do something operator error, he's gonna take care of it for you. And I couldn't say, I mean...
Well, you know, that's what's good about a sealed program, too, is they know you haven't got into it
right.
to do anything on top of, you know...
Right.
And
that's
the
one thing as a racer, that's one thing I've always hated is the engine part of things, you know. Let's see who can get their car turning the best,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah. And let the brains...
That's what I like about
the
IROC series, you know?
Sure.
The IROC series is really, really cool. I feel like that's what NASCAR kind of needs to go to these days.
Right.
Is a series like that. Make it come down to the driver, not all this engineering stuff, you know?
Right.
So...
But, no, cool. Cool.
But
so
yeah,
no, vape machine. Yeah, sorry. I mean, you haven't heard
Howard,
that name in a long time.
Right, yeah.
So
and what's crazy about that is Howard growing up, my grandpa taught him a lot.
No kidding.
And he actually told me a lot of stuff that my grandpa taught him back in the day.
He still uses
to this day.
No kidding.
So Howard over there in Vegas Machine, you know, he's family as well. We got his name on the car. We've got Speed Vegas out there on the car. It's just more of a kind of a thumbs down to exotics racing out there.
It's cool though. I'm surprised they squeezed a really exotic track on the side of the road,
right? We like to call the parking lot.
Yeah, the parking lot. Right. They built a real nice track in the parking lot. Now, what do you do down there, real quick? By the way,
so I was a right seat coach for the last basically 10 years, and within those last 6 months, they've moved me up to the track operations manager. So now I get to manage the coaches and teach them and make sure that they're doing what they need to do.
Wow, there you go.
Yeah,
hey. Yeah.
So if you guys ever want to come down and drive some Ferraris and stuff, just let me know.
You give us the racers discount, no problem.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
No,
anyway,
no, we're
talking
broke racers discount.
Yeah,
that's
a regular racer.
We're
bomber racer discount.
Yeah, the broke bomber racer discount.
Yeah, Speed Vegas. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I wanted to kind of
on that.
So Speed Vegas, obviously.
And that's just about it. If I'm forgetting anybody,
the family,
on,
you know,
aside.
Your wife, you know, kids.
Yeah, you know, my wife Ann, daughter Marley, biggest supporters, like I said. But my guy is Garrett Wallace. My dad Jim Parker. Garrett Wallace is a buddy of mine that helped me, volunteered his time to come to the shop, help build my car.
Wow.
He would show up with parts that he bought. He would not let me pay him back.
Wow.
I can't thank that kid enough. But yeah, those
looking
guys
for a new friend. We could all use a friend like that.
Well,
that's
you know,
cool.
I think he's
thank
actually
to guys like that that
yeah,
volunteer.
Exactly.
Out,
I think he's actually looking to dump me as a friend. He's telling me I'm costing him too.
Yeah, he's an expensive friend. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, those guys, I really can't thank them much. My whole team is just thank you guys. I really appreciate all of you. I know I can have my moments where you think I don't, but I really do. I love you guys, your family.
You get many screaming moments out there? Speaking of that, I mean,
screaming moments?
It happens because you're in a competitive mode out at the track.
If anything, maybe after an incident on the racetrack. But if it's anything before the race, no, it just won't work well with my dad. As a matter of fact, my dad with Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch gets out of the car one time, says this car is a POS. It wants to spin out down the straightaway. My dad said, go get the POS wrench out of the box and go fix it.
Wow, that's funny.
So my dad doesn't put up with anything like that. So if
but Kyle Busch is still kind of getting away with that in the big league right now.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he hasn't changed.
He hasn't changed, exactly, yeah.
But he's got a lot of talent.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Wheel,
yeah,
so.
He's earned his right to complain all he wants, I guess.
Right, right.
But
it's just like the other day with the 2 weeks ago with the Kyle Larson thing. Everybody hated him for it. I was like, Larson even took blame. Like, I did it first. He had every right to hit me.
Right. And that's cool. You know, he must have had a dad, too, that told him, race people the way you expect to race.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I was telling Justin earlier, you know, you'll never see me get to somebody's back bumper and just move them out of the way right away. I'm going to work you. I'm going to try to pass you.
Yeah.
If it gets down to the last lap and I need to work the bumper to get the win,
right,
we're going to start doing that. but I'm going to give you basically benefit of the doubt. I'm going to try to pass
you. And there's certain places to give the bumper and not to give the
right.
bumper, you know.
So
and,
my biggest
and,
thing is, if I hit you,
know that.
I better run. Because
right.
I expect you to
Looking
hit me back,
yeah.
you know.
It's not going
to
be in the place you want either.
Exactly.
And it ain't going to be the time you want
exactly.
either.
That's why you run.
Right. Exactly.
Have you ever lost your temper in the car?
Oh, I've lost my temper in the car many times. But I'd say that was more in my earlier days.
Yeah.
I almost feel like I have ADD in the car where until the caution comes out, I just kind of forget about everything. And then a caution will come out and then they'll, you know, I'll remember what just happened. The guy's hit me. What you doing? You know? And so, but I feel like I'm a lot calmer these days than what I was, you know, and it probably has something to do with being 22 and 32.
Exactly. A lot can happen. A lot of growing up to do in 10
child,
years.
You
yeah,
know?
That's true. Speaking of on the racetrack, do you like your spotter to give you a lot of information, or are
yes.
you more of a quiet, hey, I'll race and you tell me when you know things are happening?
Yeah, no, I like as much information as possible. I want to know what's going on behind me, how far back,
and you've had
if somebody's catching me.
You've had this one spotter the whole season?
Yes. Well, pretty much. Jeff's missed 3 races,
okay.
I believe. I've had Ken Ash spot for me. I've had Charlie Wall spot for
okay.
me. Jeff was the one that we got both wins with, so he's looking,
the guy.
He's looking like the better good luck guy, I guess you could say.
Yep.
There. But I know Jeff is really great. I have not looked at that rear view mirror one time. I've looked
nice.
At the side mirror. You know,
right.
they'll tell me
sure.
if someone's peeking or something, I'll look at the side
yeah.
mirror. But
yeah.
yeah, he does a great job for me.
But
cool.
Jeff was a hell of a driver in his own, so
yeah.
I mean that's the best kind
yeah,
of
yeah. I got a champion teaching me how to be a champion.
Well,
I got champions around me, you know.
Right.
If you go and look at it, I got Garrett Wallace. He's
right.
he's worked on cars and won championships with guys. My dad's won championships with people. Jeff Connors won championship. Tom Cliff, they raced, you know,
right.
Back in their day, and they won championships. And I'm the one in the team that is not the champion. So to be a champion, I had to go out and surround myself
with champions.
With these
right?
other champions.
You know, I guess I think a lot of people are looking at your team like, oh, crap, what are we racing against here, man? This is going to be tough to beat this team. But, you know, hey, you know, it takes a lot of great talent like that. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it just takes time to work. So,
right.
You know, you get the momentum going, and you have it. Obviously, you're first in points in the championship right now, so that's something to you know,
yeah, we
be
hope
proud
to,
of.
I've never wanted a season end so quickly, that's for sure. You know,
right.
it's like you're counting down the seconds to it, you know.
That's kind of like when you're leading the race.
Right,
right.
Yeah,
so
you start smelling things
yeah.
and hearing things.
Let's just finish this race, right.
Right, yeah.
Do you like the long races versus the short races? Which one do
you
prefer?
You know what I like? I like that Sunday day race.
You like to
yeah.
Do you like to get out front
well,
and kind of get that cushion?
Or see, you know, I was telling Justin earlier that, you know, one of the biggest reasons I fell back to 7th to save in that July 3rd race, I haven't raced a July 3rd race in 10 years.
Wow.
The last time I raced it, we were 100 pounds lighter. We
right.
were 200 horsepower less.
Right.
So I'm thinking, I got the same brakes, but more horsepower, more weight. So I'm thinking I need to save. As a matter of fact, talking to Dustin Ash this last weekend, he told me he did lose his brakes. So,
wow.
So I felt like I made a good learning call there. I just felt like I could have done a better job at it. But as far as that deal goes, the long races, if you're saving, is kind of boring.
Right.
I want to just go, you know,
yeah,
just
yeah.
go. Let's duke it out. Let's race
get it.
Get
done, yeah.
But I don't like 35-lap mains. I'm not a huge fan. As you can see, we wrecked the last
right.
one. So
yeah, I think a lot of guys in a shorter race are trying to get up front too fast.
Yeah.
They're not given enough time. Obviously,
I think
the 50-lap races.
And I think you can feel better about winning a big race.
Yeah.
You know, One year I led the first 76 laps of a 200, the
wow.
only 200 lap open comp that we've ever had out here. I led the first 76 laps, fell back to third, then we're making our way back up, and I really felt like I had something to race the leaders with, and then my brother-in-law Justin Johnson wrecks me. We won't
talk
about
that.
We
won't talk
about
that. Yeah.
But then, you know, afterwards,
he said it was your fault, by the way. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, that's what I'm blaming. It's his fault. Drivers always blame the other driver.
It's not ever your own fault.
Right.
So, anyways,
so yeah, that race, just thinking like, wow, we really had a shot to win that 200 lap main.
Wow.
That was gonna feel cool.
Right.
You know, it was gonna
right.
be like, yeah, 200 lap race. You know.
Yeah.
So if anything, I'd probably be more of a fan of the longer ones.
Cool.
But I don't like saving.
Right, right. Well, you know, that kind of falls in line then if you're going to do some of the, like, the SRL stuff
right.
in the future touring. You know, obviously
mm-hmm.
most of those are longer races.
Right, correct.
And so on. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Hope to
exactly.
see
and then with different racetracks. You know, Vegas is a very smooth track, but when you go to Tucson, it's very gritty.
How many tracks
know?
Have you been to in the
Super late model wise, I've only been to Irwindale and here.
Okay.
Legend car wise.
You like the half mile over the street?
I loved it. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I kind of psyched myself out when I went there and I thought it was going to be harder, but it
right.
was easier.
Right. Exactly.
But it was really cool running right up against that wall.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's the fast line, staying up high
yeah.
and not the Vegas line.
Yeah.
Where you run
and it's
down
funny
low.
When you meet drivers that go to that and they're like, I hate it. And I'm going, why?
Right. This is fun.
When you hit it, you're only a foot away from it.
Yeah.
When you're at the bullring, You're 10 feet away
right.
from that wall. It's going to really hurt,
yep.
you know?
Exactly. That's a good point.
When you're
yep.
next to the wall, it's just a little,
yep.
you know?
A little
rubbing. Yeah, it's not bad at all, you know? But, yeah, Irwindale, I'd like to get back there. It's a lot of fun to run out there. I'd like to get to Tucson. Tucson, I've been out there spotting and helping guys in the last couple of years with the SRL and Super Late Model, and it looks, as a matter of fact, the first time that I walked away from it, I said, that is my new favorite track that I never raced on.
Wow.
Yeah. Cool.
What about Kern or
Kern would be cool. I'm a little scared of it
yeah.
because
I heard
it destroys
fast,
race cars.
Yeah, exactly. I heard
you
the
know,
fast
that front
fast
stretch wall.
If someone wants to buy my car and let me drive it,
there you go.
I'm not going to be scared.
The offer's out there.
Yeah. But if, as long
funny.
As it's under my credit card,
yeah.
I'm a little on that spook side of things.
Right.
But a dream of mine would be to get out to the winter showdown that they have.
It, absolutely.
I've gone to the All-American 400. I spotted for a kid out there
wow.
a couple years ago, and that I had a great time in Nashville. I want to get to the All-American 400. 400 laps, super late model.
That
nuts,
is
you know?
Insane.
But
yeah.
that's one of those things where I thought, you know, it'd be cool to take the family, go spend a week in Nashville,
yeah.
go race, and then,
exactly.
you know, go see Nashville and stuff.
How about the Bristol race?
Bristol would be sweet, too. That kind of falls into that whole Kern deal, you know? Did you see
yeah,
that?
Oh, yeah.
They destroyed some race
guys.
Ran
across.
We ran
across these
yeah.
guys.
Yeah.
Yep. On the rain.
We had plenty of time to hang out.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Lots of it.
Las Vegas boys, man. This is water.
Hey, what is this stuff?
We're feeling it this
and
week.
It really came down.
Yeah. Like I said, we're sitting there on the bleachers, and it had that big billboard in the middle that said, clear the stands, thunderstorm. And I'm like, where the hell's a thunderstorm?
Right.
We didn't get under the bleachers, and it was just dumping.
Yep.
Whoa.
But, yeah, that was a lot of fun. If you've never been to Bristol, go. Go
oh,
to that
yeah.
night race. I mean, it was awesome.
That's
we only got to see we were at 25 laps under the night, but
yeah.
still, it was
it's a good
yeah. awesome.
Sweet.
A lot of fun.
What about Havasu? Have you been to that track?
Never even seen it.
Really?
No. Yeah, and
you've probably heard about
we
it.
Just,
I'm
like
sure so guys
we,
get down
we
there.
Didn't have a whole lot of money to actually run the full season out here, let
right.
alone travel. Legend car stuff. I only did Vegas, some road course stuff, and then I went to Kimley, North Carolina for some nationals one year.
Right.
But yeah, we didn't do a whole lot of traveling with it. But I've never been to Havasu. Never been to Blythe.
You don't. You're lucky you've never been to Blythe. That's my opinion. I hated that track. That's just my opinion.
Right.
It just was a weird racetrack.
I've been to Orange Show.
Yeah, Orange Show. Yeah, that's a different track.
I'm a racing fan and I like it all. But as a driver, I just don't know if the quarter mile stuff would be something
yeah,
I would do.
You kind of like
know?
A little bigger track. So that's.
Yeah, I guess a speed junkie. You know,
yeah,
I don't know.
It's preference. You know, it doesn't.
But
hurt,
at the same time, anything in the race car is a good time.
That's true. That's true.
Now, have you ever tried dirt racing?
Never tried dirt racing. I always wanted to, but I always told people, I want to try it, just not in my car.
Because
when I ran legend cars, they would do legend cars on the dirt.
Well, I'm sure these guys will set you up in a bomber car for a night if you ever want to race
dirt.
Out.
Oh, yeah, it'd be a lot of fun.
There you go.
I'd probably get laughed at a whole lot, but that's okay. I got no ego.
First time I went out there in the bomber, I spun myself out in the heat probably, what, three times at least myself.
Dirt, you have to forget everything you've ever learned on asphalt.
Yeah.
You have to run dirt.
I bet.
And it's a lot of fun.
You got to turn right to go left, I heard.
Sometimes.
Well,
sometimes, yes.
Hopefully we'll see you in a bomber car on the dirt race.
It'd be a lot of fun.
Well,
that'd be cool.
So you guys get it set up, okay?
We'll set it up.
Who's your biggest competitor? LVMS, you think this year for your championship?
Well, right now it's going to be Scotty. Obviously, he's the closest
okay.
to me in points. But Tyler Ferbozzi put a lot
oh,
of pressure on
out.
Us this year. They went and bought that Fury race car,
yeah.
and that thing there was
a bullet
the
yeah.
first time it came out. And as a matter of fact, it was race number three. My dad came to my house, yeah. and he said, "Son, we need to dig." He goes, we're not racing TJ Clark.
Right.
We're not racing Tyler Fabozzi. We're racing Tony Geary Jr. and Sr.
Sure.
These guys that have all this shakers and these pull-down rigs and these engine chassis dynos and all these things. They send you a car that's just race ready to go. And I got a guy that's just a local, you know, Jimmy Parker Sr. If it wasn't for him to make me look like this, we wouldn't be running this
right.
Well.
Hate to cut you off. Hope you guys had a great show here with Jimmy Parker Jr.
We're listening. I look forward to you at the next race coming up here, August
25th.
August 25th. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, guys.
Hopefully, we'll have you back. We're going to look out for you at the racetrack at LVM.com. Check them out. We'll see you live here next Tuesday at onwheelsnow.com. Thanks again, Jimmy.
Awesome. Thank you guys. Anybody looking to support the show, anybody that does these local racing shows, it's a pretty cool deal, so support them too.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in, Jim.
Thank you guys.
Thanks for listening.